Hi, I'm Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 122 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is going to be a special episode because I have guests. And as you regular listeners know, I don't have guests too often, but today I have two very special guests, Ida Rodriguez. And Ida is a brilliant comic and writer. And Ida, what's going on right now? Tell us credits that I should have got before the show.
Nothing. There are no credits here.
Truth Serum.
We're just working. I have a podcast that I do called Truth Serum that I'm very proud of because I do talk about things that they don't expect Puerto Rican women to talk about. They want me to talk about knives and babies.
Yeah.
And we talk about issues. So Truth Serum on Tuesdays at 4 p.m.
And knives and babies is almost a perfect introduction for our next guest.
You make it seem like...
Ladies and gentlemen... Maranzio Vance, who Maranzio is a friend of mine, one of my favorite comics, and you have to follow him on Facebook. But yeah, you just have to, because Maranzio is not happy with anything.
Well, he got into Raven Simone's butt like this week.
Oh my God!
So
if she ever sees me,
what's going on, Maranzio? What is?
I'm angry. I wasn't at first, and then you brought it up. So I was. I try to. You know what, man? I try to. As a black man, if you're angry, if you're passionate about something, it's automatically perceived as anger. So I try to smile when I say the stuff that I say now.
Well, yeah, your anger is hilarious. It is mixed with humor. That's why I love it. That's why I love your Facebook posts.
Like, I'm not angry because I hate babies. Like,
right. It's anger.
It's a reason why
it's quite
babies.
Often justifiable anger, and you have the rant makes it funny. That's the beauty of you on Facebook, that you go into it.
A young black Lewis Black.
Something like that.
I got a fucking make a noise.
I see the Lewis Black here.
If I could just yell.
Yeah,
there's a little of it. So this is what we're talking about today, okay? What I wanted to talk about, because I read this great article in the Daily Beast, and it's about the business. They call it the business of internet bigotry, but it's the business of hate and the internet. Like, I was working with Elaine Boozler, and Elaine Boozler had a great joke. She said, you know, instead of Twitter, how about we just open the window and yell angry things at people?
That's called New York. You know?
There's so much of what is viral, so much of what pays on the internet, whether it be through you know, Facebook or Twitter or just general internet communication. So much of it is negative, and yet it is big business. So right now, obviously, the biggest example we're looking at is Donald Trump.
Right.
Donald Trump has built his whole campaign on, it started out with the, you know, hatred of Mexicans. Then he's attacked women in his campaign.
He
goes back to black people and Barack Obama with the whole Barack Obama's not born here. Like that one, we thought we had settled that one, and he brought it back. And he's built a brand based on, unless you're a white male who's rich, I hate you, and you're not an American.
He's the real face of America.
Yeah, that's what, you know, he's going to bring America back. But before him, we had Sarah Palin, who did it. And the thing I love about Donald Trump was so good at it, Fox fired Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
They literally said, like, Sarah, we found a better one.
Yes.
You're not racist. You're not hitting it hard like Trump. Trump gets in there.
So we have Donald Trump. Then we have the straight cash makers on this. And just some examples. The latest example, obviously, is Kim Davies out of Kentucky, the anti-gay marriage woman who went to this. This is what I love. She went to jail for violating a court order when the Supreme Court of the land said gay marriage is legal, and she decided it wasn't. She went to jail for a week and came out and said, I'm Rosa Parks.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
And big shout out to SNL for spoofing her, because it was genius.
It was.
Yeah, she, you know, I said, look, when Rosa Parks sat in the front of the bus, Rosa Parks sat in the front of the bus for her civil right to sit in the front of the bus.
Absolutely.
She didn't sit up there to say, no Puerto Ricans allowed on the bus.
No
Jews on the bus. You know, it's a horrible thing, but she's cashing in.
Right.
She's literally, and when I say cashing in, these people are literally making money.
The equivalent to what she's doing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The equivalent of what she's doing is like, remember when that lady climbed the pole and pulled down the Confederate flag?
Yeah.
In South Carolina, and we thought that was gonna be like our next black logo.
Right.
She didn't get any money.
No, she didn't get any money. But Kim Davis, oh my God,
she had to come up with money for her bail.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like we'll talk about it. Like, why do some hate campaigns, anger campaigns, or whatever catch on, others don't? I was going to give some other quick examples. Darren Wilson, the cop who shot Michael Brown, walked away with $500,000, $500,000. Zimmerman, who's killed Trayvon Martin, has been cashing in ever since. He's from his terrible paintings to his latest thing of putting up pictures of Trayvon Martin dead body. And we have other political examples. Joe the Plumber, who stumbled into a fortune of being the face of the hardworking American. Yeah. And by the way, dumb as a post.
Yeah.
Dumb as a post, but
as a plunger,
but made a bunch of money. Now, in their defense, and in this article, it talks about it, Joe the Plumber is a perfect example of once he achieved that notoriety, he couldn't work anymore. Like, once you're famous on the internet for being this person, you can't go to your job. Mm-mm. And, you know, you can't go. Not. And the funny thing is, he wasn't a plumber. You know, I don't think he is to this day. That's
the most
hilarious thing.
Didn't Sarah Palin name him that? Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he said one day he's going to own a plumbing company. He's going to make $250,000 a year, and he doesn't want to pay taxes. No, hasn't made that. You know, but first thing, if you want to own a plumbing company, is be a plumber. I'm gonna just throw that out there. I don't think
and
that.
And I don't want to pay taxes.
Nobody does, though.
So, wasn't that the plot to Armageddon?
Yeah.
Like they go to the space.
That was one of the perks.
And come back. I don't want to pay taxes.
And if you save the Earth from a meteor, then you don't pay taxes. I think that is a fair deal.
That's a fair trade-off.
Or he can start his own religion.
Yeah.
And, you know, according to Netflix.
So we have all of these examples. And again, going to you, Maranzio, joking about the difference between when you do it, you're a comedian and you rant about things and you may even be really angry about them. You know, we were talking about the Raven Simone and her nonsense, but you don't do it from a place of like you don't open, you know, I hate Raven Simone and I hate every light skinned black woman named after a bird and blah, 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 blah. You know, so what's the difference?
You are not supposed to complain. I don't think we are. And if you're a black man in America and you're not locked up, you should just be happy. I think that's how America looks at it. Like, you should be happy. You're not locked up.
And you didn't get shot today.
You didn't get shot today by any cop or a Zimmerman. You're not picking cotton. So just be happy. Why can't you be happy? Not my fault you don't have a jump shot and you're not in the NBA. I know my father wasn't tall, but you can't complain. You're not allowed to complain. You can only be happy.
But here's the thing, though. You can complain. Complaining is the business, okay? And I just looked this up because I just wanted to get exactly what the definition is, because we all talk about trolls.
Oh, the trolls.
No, we talk about
the internet trolls.
Okay, so the definition, an internet troll is a person who sows discord on the internet by starting arguments or upsetting people by posting inflammatory, and I think this is important, extraneous or off-topic messages in an online community. And we've all seen this, where the discussion might be about one thing. Well, the big example of it is, whenever they talk about police shooting young black men, there's always somebody, well, 100 black people shot 100 black people in Chicago.
All the time.
You know, so when you say don't create that anger, don't complain, that's the business, isn't it? Isn't the business to complain?
Yeah.
Well, I think the difference is that when Raven Simone, who is someone who we considered privileged, who's been on television their whole lives, whose name is Raven hyphen alternate spelling Simone, makes a comment about an ignorant name, about black people's names, it's rooted in ignorance, and I think that there's a great penalty for
self-hate.
But it is self-hate. But I think what we do, specifically the people in this room that I watch, you're a reflection of the everyday person. You're not subscribing to celebrity culture. So when you go off about something, you're making a statement, a social statement about what's going on in the world. And a lot of people who are sound would agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I think when people like Raven Simone or Kim Kardashian or Donald Trump make these blanket statements about the rest of the population, it's just ignorance. It's not the same thing. I don't think we're doing that when we're saying what we're saying, because I'm not hating on anybody.
I listen to her. Like, I don't watch The View, but I listen to her. And I was like, so Obama's name can't get more ethnic.
Yeah.
Coretta.
Whoopi.
Is not like
Oprah. Yeah.
A regular name.
But this is, but see, Raven Simone, and you used one of the key words here. You said sound, sound opinion. A sound opinion doesn't sell on the internet.
No, it doesn't.
So when, and Raven Simone, I'm going to separate her because she's a celebrity and she already was a celebrity. But when you have these people like, for instance, Joe the Plumber.
Oh, yeah.
Or Kim Davis, who literally make a horrible statement. Like Joe the Plumber, and Sarah Palin does this too. I know she's celebrity, but she will periodically make a ridiculous statement just to keep her name in the news.
Absolutely.
You
know, that's what everybody
and so here's my question, okay? If you're Zimmerman, if you're Kim Davis, if you're Darren Wilson, and you do this hateful act, mm-hmm. okay, and then people, and here's how it works. Whenever you do something people hate, there's another group that loves you for doing it.
Absolutely. Right.
There's always, and that other side always seems anxious to give you money.
Yeah.
For whatever.
It's
so
really strange.
So if you come out and you say, you know, if I come out and I say, you know, I hate all white people, blah, 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 and, you know, this person got killed and good for them, they should have died, blah, 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 and then a bunch of people get behind me and I walk away with $500,000.
It doesn't work
like
that.
Did I win?
No, but listen.
I mean.
Have you seen any black person get a GoFundMe account for saying?
You don't get GoFundMe for positive stuff.
No. Well, I'm going to talk about that because that's very interesting. But so these people who have done this, and let's face it, they make money off hate. Mm-hmm. They make money off saluting a school shooting, mm-hmm. or backing up the cop who shot an innocent person, or being the cop who shot an innocent person. Mm-hmm. Did they, quote, win?
Well, it depends on what your definition of winning is, because the way we are today, to some people, that is winning. Everything is about money, Twitter followers.
Yeah.
Your
social net worth went up. You got notoriety. Mm-hmm. Like Mike Huckabee last night.
Oh,
Mike Huckabee, like when you said trolling or trolls, you described Mike Huckabee
and Donald Trump.
And Coulter.
Well, they're professional trolls.
Yes.
There are some people who are professional trolls, and you just named some of them. Huckabee, Palin, Ann Coulter.
Yeah. I would trust Bernie
Bill Maher.
Sanders.
Bill Maher.
With the Koreans?
I would trust a North Korean chef.
With a dog.
With a dog before I would trust Bernie Sanders.
With tax dollars.
With tax dollars?
Right.
Who says that?
A guy who did it in the last election and got a show on Fox.
Yes.
Mike Huckabee got a show on Fox News. Mike Huckabee was a retired governor, not doing anything.
How does that fly?
And he ran for president, and he took this crazy evangelical point of view. You know, abortion is murder, and women are no good, and blah, blah, blah,
and
blah,
Beyonce,
blah.
And Beyonce, Jay-Z needs to dress Beyonce.
Right, and he ended up with a show on Fox that lasted mm-hmm. until this presidential campaign.
Because what business does he have talking about Beyonce and Jay-Z? But you know what I think is really interesting is that I read this article that said that that Donald Trump and these people are exposing how bad our education system is
Absolutely.
In America, because they are bringing to the light how unintelligent middle America is and how many dumb Americans. It was really a very interesting
just
article.
America is.
No, it's everywhere.
All America.
I read a quote, and I'm not sure who it was, so I'm not going to attribute it to anybody, but I love the quote. It says, people are intelligent. The people are stupid.
Yes.
And I think that's a brilliant analysis of our country. Yeah. Whenever you put us in a large group, for some reason,
we become dumber.
Stupid takes over. One-on-one, people are intelligent. They have a formed opinion. And then you put a bunch of them together, and now stupidity all Mexicans are rapists. Or what? Give me your quote about Puerto Ricans, because I love this one.
Donald Trump said that Puerto Ricans are his least favorite Mexicans.
What?
And that when he comes to office, the first thing he's going to do with regards to Puerto Rico is revoke our citizenship. Now, and that, don't forget, he also said if Black lives don't matter in America, then go back to Africa.
Right.
So,
yeah, Puerto Ricans. But just if you sit back and listen to that statement, and I've said this, that the brilliance of Donald Trump is he says things that are so ridiculous, you can't argue with it because there's no basis in reality to talk from. So if I come to you and say Puerto Ricans are my least favorite Mexicans, we can't even talk now.
Right. Well,
that statement is so asinine.
You know, because now we have to explain to you that Puerto Ricans and Mexicans are different people.
Different.
And that Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, and therefore Puerto Ricans are American citizens.
Yeah, he said they got to close that border.
So, they're going to build a big wall over the ocean.
Over the
ocean,
right?
They're going to build a big ocean wall.
A dam.
And we might as well wrap Cuba up in it. Because Barack brought Cuba back, but yeah, these are the examples. But
it's like saying rappers are my worst black people. I don't like rappers. Those are my worst kind of black people.
Right. Yeah, rappers. They're a special breed.
Yes.
Within
it's another subsidiary.
Yeah.
Of colored folk.
So you know, but again, we have new. This is so. Here's my question. What do you guys think? Is this the purpose of the internet? Like, is it because we've said it and it's true? No, it's not true. On occasion, positivity takes over. Okay.
Yes.
Ahmed Muhammad, the kid in Texas who had a clock. Okay. He came to school with a clock, but because his name is Muhammad and his skin is brown, it was obviously a bomb.
Absolutely.
And they had to, you know, they had to get past three students carrying guns to get to the, his bomb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
To the clock.
But the internet led by Barack Obama and, what's his name from Facebook? Zuckerman.
Yeah.
And
Zuckerberg.
Brilliant scientists and techs were all like, well, they don't want you there. Come on down to MIT. Come up to Microsoft. Come up. So once in a while, the internet does latch on to a positive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this kid has made any money. I think he's earned a college education, but has he gotten money?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. But you know what's interesting? There is a really big anti-Muhammad movement.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to say. Now, once the positivity paid off, the trolls, Sarah Palin and Bill Maher was one of them. Because Bill Maher has this
weird thing
with Muslims. And, you know, weird thing, this anti-Muslim, I don't know what
it is. Anti-everything.
Our religion.
But anyway, they jumped on and they were like, well, so what? We should still hate him. He's doing, you know why? He's doing what we do. He's taken a moment of his life that gave him some fame on the internet, and now he's expanded it to fame, and he's getting a college education. And he did what we do, but using positivity.
Right.
Next thing, he's going to talk about Jesus wanting love crazy.
Yeah.
Or
Allah loves everybody.
And we told you Barack was a Muslim because Barack went to see him.
Oh, my God.
Right.
In addition to that, what about ISIS? Like, if you see how they'll try to connect that story to ISIS.
Now another example, his name is Caden, and that story out of Georgia, I believe it was in Georgia, where an employee, a white man, took his picture. There was a little 3-year-old black kid behind him, and he posted the picture on Twitter, and they just started a whole bunch of, you know, I didn't know you owned a slave and blah, 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 a bunch of hatred toward a 3-year-old black kid who was in the background of a picture. But once again, the internet rallied. The internet rallied around this kid, Caden. His mother put his name out there and said he's a person. The guy who did it, his company Polaris, fired him.
And they fired all those people, too.
And full disclosure, I know people at Polaris. Polaris is a parent company of Indian and Victory Motorcycles, and I do a lot of stuff with their company. But I didn't have nothing to do with him getting fired. I'd have doled out an ass whipping.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been, you know, they'd have called me. They'd have been like, yeah, I got this. But anyway, So the internet can come together in a positive way. Here's a question. Do you think if you post something like that and you start a hate campaign, if you start a racist campaign, if you do something like that, should you be held accountable? Does your company have the right to fire you?
Yes. I think so. And you know what? What's interesting is he tried to use that. Did you see that he came back and said he too was the victim
yeah.
in this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he thought it was going to work in that. Darren
right.
Wilson, it didn't catch on for him.
Right.
Absolutely, he should be. First of all, he shouldn't be posting pictures of other people's children. That's a minor
yeah.
without the permission of the parent.
Yeah.
That's an issue all unto itself.
You can't show my child without my permission.
No.
On your site? On your page?
Yeah. You know what was going to happen. Absolutely, you knew what was going to happen when you posted
it. I don't know that you can say you knew what was going to happen.
Those were his friends.
I'll say it did happen, but I bet a lot of this, I'm absolutely sure a lot of this goes on under the radar. Not yeah. every time somebody posts some hateful, ignorant thing about a black child or a Puerto Rican woman or a Jewish person right. or whatever, does it take, and I can't say, and I don't know if any of us know why certain things go viral on the internet. In other words, with as much hatred as there is, okay, let's say as much hatred as there is toward black people on the internet, for example, and I feel bad that I don't have her name, but the 14-year-old girl who was tackled by the cop in Texas sat her, that's just it. We don't know her name.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no campaign to help her or anything. It was like, this is a terrible cop. And then these stories go away, and it's partly because there are so many of them, you can't keep track. You know,
we have an ADD society. The yeah. average crusade in this country will get about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
yeah.
The average crusade, like, they really mean something. If you're lucky, 3. And after that, people either forget or something else happens.
Yeah, they continue to wag the dog.
Yeah, more stuff happens. Yeah. Just like with the situation with the guy posting that kid on the website. A part of me, and maybe I go too far to think about it, but you put that picture on there because how those people felt about that child, you feel that same way.
Oh, absolutely.
You thought it was funny
absolutely.
By saying, let me show you what I got.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all go crazy with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I really feel, but
those
I'm going to let you
his
say
friends.
It. Well,
yeah.
he knew it, and the thing that the real indication that he knew it is his Twitter account didn't have his real name.
Yeah.
Right.
Because people are so stupid that they think that's going to hide them on the internet. Like anything you put on the internet, okay, and Bill Maher has been saying this for years, and I'll say it too.
It's archived.
It's out. It's public and everybody knows. And you could put a different name on it or whatever. You are not smart enough to hide your internet
no.
activity. Okay.
No.
If I make it big and they go through my history,
oof.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I ain't going to deny any of it. Well, that was a goat. Now that you mention it, I'm sorry that happened, but you know, one link leads to another.
There I was.
That's you saw that with Trevor Noah when he got the show. They went back to on his Twitter timeline years back.
Yeah, that's another show. But I would like to talk about that because it's funny how when a comedian becomes famous, Amy Schumer went through it also. Is then it's like, oh well, you're a racist because you told this joke in 2002.
Right.
You know, or
it's like
whatever.
People just discovered you now, like, oh, you
let's
exist
go back
now.
Through the history of everything you said.
Yeah.
I can't wait till they do that with you, Maranzio.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be.
As soon as I'm hired for whatever
you think,
gig I
you
get,
think I'm not going to be coming. I'm going to be there. When they interview me, I'm going to say, hey, have a seat. Let's talk for a while.
I know my day is coming.
So does positivity on the internet, and let's just call it random. Because the hate, other than professional trolls, okay, let's take out the professionals, the Palins and the Trumps and so on. But do random acts of kindness have a shot on the internet?
It's rare.
I think that Facebook is so strategic. Like the conspiracy theorist in me lives constantly. I it's amazing to me how many of the same articles pop up on my stream,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll talk to one of my friends, and they have a whole completely different stream.
It's how they market to you.
Yes, and so for me, I get all of the because I'm always speaking up about the police brutality. So I get, like the girl, three girls hung themselves. But I was just gonna say, like Sandra Bland went
yeah.
away. Remember how everybody was so outraged?
Sandra Bland gone.
Something yeah. happened, and it was. Over.
Tamar Rice.
Well, you can't keep up. You literally, it would be a full-time job. If you just tried to keep up with black people killed by the police in a questionable manner, that's a full-time job.
You'd be in depressed.
You'd be depressed.
You'd be constantly depressed.
And it's interesting what you say, because yes, there are algorithms, and this is a big problem. And part of what started my whole podcast, my whole Who's Paying Attention vibe, is I blame the media.
Absolutely.
Okay, we don't have media anymore. I said it before. It's not like the days of Walter Cronkite when you had real reporters.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember, I'm old enough to remember when 60 Minutes would scare the shit out of you. Like,
right.
If 60 Minutes came to your door, your ass was done. They show people running out the back.
Right.
And now 60 Minutes are like, oh, you wrote a book? Let's sit down and talk.
It's all fluff.
So the media doesn't. The media isn't news anymore. It's literally marketed direct to you. They have algorithms that say, okay, you've clicked on 10 stories about this. All your news feed's going to be about this. And if you click on a couple of conservative stories, suddenly you're going to get flooded with all this conservative stuff.
Right.
When I was doing stuff about Duck Dynasty, I think it was last summer or the summer before last, and I was looking at articles about this. Suddenly, I just started getting a whole lot of right-wing stuff.
Yeah.
And there's some guy who uses there was a fake email with my email, and it was a conservative guy. I'm sure it was somebody who got mad at something I said and created this. And I would get conservative,
not hate mail,
the letters that they send to their supporters. Like,
oh,
I would get some, so I got to hear some of what the other side was saying.
There you go.
I don't know if you knew it, but Barack Obama is actually a Muslim, and the whole Hawaii thing was made up. He's from Africa. I don't know if you're aware of that, but I've received it from a number of sources, so it must be true.
It must be true.
But the media, you can look, but that's the other thing. You can look. I have news feeds of multiple feeds, and one of the things I used to love when I'd go to London, London has, I don't know how many daily newspapers, but I know there's at least six. And they have, there's a conservative newspaper and a liberal newspaper and a working party newspaper and a green party news. And you can read the same story from three different things. And then you've like, okay, the truth is somewhere in between.
Right, right.
But it's beautiful because they cover all sides of the story. And the BBC is a great news feed.
I love it.
By the way, because the BBC is still pretty independent.
They do.
And they're like, we don't have a horse in this race. We don't care, you know. So we're just going to tell the truth.
CNN used to be like that.
CNN, they might be as close as we get to news. But ever since Anderson Cooper, I've given up on CNN. Like, he's just too pretty to be their lead guy.
Yeah.
I think his hair is more important than that lead story.
When your lead story is about something Justin Bieber tweeted or Kim Kardashian getting pregnant again, that's not news, man.
But it is now.
Yeah.
It, as frustrating as it sounds, that is news. But getting back to our topic, okay, getting back to our hate, here's a question I'm going to ask, because we're all in a business where we want to make it big. We want to be public figures. We want to be celebrity. And, you know, on all the plus side of it, is it worth it? Is it worth it to be a celebrity when it's based on some internet negative, an internet meme, joining hate or anything like that?
No.
I used to think, well, you know what? I used to think no. But I think that if you post something and somebody makes a meme out of it and you blow up from it, it's going to be a good thing, because when you get the mic, you're going to be talking about what you talk about. And you're not going to change when I'm talking about you specifically. So and you as well, like, even if one of your I hate Diddy things goes viral and then everybody starts paying attention to you and you get a TV show, your TV show is not going to be about that. It's going to be
something else.
So if you have an opportunity to get a voice based because of something that like that happened, it just so happens that when it happens for the people that it happens for, they happen to be idiots. So
yeah, but they're and I've always said this about Sarah Palin. Okay, when I say Sarah Palin's dumb regarding issues and stuff like that. But when it comes to being media savvy, Sarah Palin is a genius.
Yes.
Yeah,
Sarah Palin made more out of less. You know, basically, she like, look, I don't know anything about anything, but I know I'm in front of this camera, and I'm going to make a fortune.
She milked it.
And
wait,
she did.
Wait, I remember when they did those debates, that when they analyzed her, they said she was a genius. The shoes, the lipstick, the brand of glasses.
Yeah. That wasn't her. That was all image consultants. And that was the joke, that she's an ordinary American, and they bought her a $150,000 wardrobe.
Yeah. Did they really?
Yeah, that's what they spent. That's the number that they spent. They spent $150,000 because she came out in one of her pantsuits, and they were like, Oh no, stop.
Yeah. Let's go. Hillary?
Yeah. and so that was part of the image thing.
So
yeah.
Do you think when she said, you need to speak American, do you think she was operating from ignorance, or do you think that was
That's her.
Yeah. Okay.
She didn't talk to anyone prior to that.
No.
I don't think
they wish they did.
Yeah. Mm.
They didn't know she was going to be speaking American. There was a bunch of people at the Republican Party headquarters looking at each other like, did she just speak American?
Yes.
And they saw, and they called John McCain, and they said, well, John, Barack's a nice guy. It'd be all right.
It'd be good.
I already hate her.
Speak together.
But I'm never surprised. She's the one that says she could see Russia from her window, right? And that said that Africa was a country.
No one ever.
So why was anybody surprised? It trended, though. That's the genius. It still trended.
Right. Well, no, she built a business. And again, this is the negative thing. She became the victim of everyone who said she's dumb because she doesn't know that Russia isn't outside her window, and she doesn't know that, you know, international travel is a good thing, and she didn't know the earth is more than 5,000 years old, which it is, by the way. Anyone listening, just stop it, okay? And Ben Carson.
Talking about, do people dispute that? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Ben Carson is one of the believers that the earth is less than 10,000 years old. It's a biblical belief with some kind of weird biblical calendar. And when I say weird biblical, I'm not knocking you if you're Christian. That's okay. But there's a million Christians who believe in science, who understand that scientists have figured out how to figure out a rock is 50 million years old.
And Moses didn't put it there.
This is accepted. You know, that's the thing. This isn't even evolution or, you know, the abortion question of when does life begin. This is a rock.
Right.
And science is like, we figured out how old rocks are. This rock is old, more than 10,000 years old. But they have the Creationist Museum in Kentucky, where you can see pictures of men riding dinosaurs. And their belief, I don't know the belief exactly, but basically they say that the reason dinosaurs went extinct is they didn't fit on the ark.
Okay.
So how can we get rid of Ben Carson? Because I don't know what that was.
I'm telling you, that's what it is. That's their belief, that when Noah built the ark, that it wasn't big enough for dinosaurs.
So he left.
And that's why there are no dinosaurs anymore.
God.
Yeah. Now, are we okay? Now, when we laugh at the people who believe this, are we doing the internet hate thing on them?
No, we're just using our brain. We're sound.
But again, see, that's the thing, though. When you do that, okay, I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you the insult. You're an intellectual.
Elitist.
Intellectual has become an insult in America. Yeah. So now, Maranzio, with your intellectual ass.
I'm thinking for myself. How dare you think for yourself?
And this is, and interestingly, and I absolutely get what you say about being a black man, because when you're a black man, you're judged. And I'm a large black man, so I'm even scarier than you.
I was afraid of you before I even knew you.
You know?
Yeah.
But
Alon's going to kill somebody.
But this goes beyond that. This is America. This is the division between, and you talked about it, between middle America and the coasts. And I've said there's two countries. There's two, the coasts are one. The middle is another one. The South is it. I'm so okay with them seceding. Whenever they ask, I'm like, can we let them go? Can we negotiate?
I'm from North Carolina and I'm scared of
them. Listen, that's fancy. I'm from Florida. Okay. And they have a whole Twitter feed about every single thing that happens in Florida.
Florida has replaced California as the craziest state. Oh. California had a good run as the craziest state.
So?
Yeah.
You think Florida's completely said, we're here to take over?
Oh, yeah. Florida's crazy on a level. Yeah.
Look on Twitter. Look at Florida.
You have to look at how many stories in Florida, everything from
Casey Anthony,
from manatees to the shootings, to the bath salts and that. Yeah, bath salts.
Florida does go in. God don't like Florida, though.
Yeah.
Drown it. I tell people every year I go down there and perform. I say, God hates Florida. He tries to drown you every year, and you just batten up the hatches and say, we're going to wait it out And then when the water's gone, you take down the boards and be like, all right, let's go back to where it was until next year.
No, I'm from Miami. That's the bottom. And
yeah, but Miami's separate. You know what I mean? Miami is separate because what I tell people about Florida, and people don't realize this, you know about Miami and Orlando and Tampa, but you don't know what's in between them. When you drive from Tampa to Orlando, you will see some of the scariest. You will see giant rebel flags and a whole bit.
I went to school in Tallahassee.
Like that is, what do they say about Florida? The farther north you go in Florida, the farther south you are?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I went to my very first weekend driving to school in Tallahassee, drove through a KKK rally.
Yeah.
And I had to get down on the floor on the bus. And it was interesting because the driver was black. And I was like, is he going to ghost ride the whip? Because we are in trouble.
Is this his last day?
But but you know what? They're used to black men driving buses.
Right,
so that's okay.
You're supposed to do that.
Yeah, so he was okay.
It's a non-threatening position. Right.
But we had to get down. All the kids on the bus had to get down.
So I have to ask you, Ida, because you are one of the people, especially now, in the culture we have now, where people are ethnic and so on. You're one of those confusing people, right? When they look at you, before you say anything, before you say your name, they're not sure, are you mixed black and white? Are you a white woman with a really good tan? Is it like, do we hate you yet? Do they have to figure it out first?
No, they hate her immediately.
Or is it immediate, like, you ain't one of us?
All the time. And being a diaspora person, which I have to explain all the time, because a lot of my brothers and sisters are lost. That Puerto Rico was, that slavery dwelled there. Mm-hmm. My great-great-grandmother had an African name and spoke an African tongue. And a lot of us don't know our history. But yes, it is, especially being a black Latin person in America, it is the most confusing, complicated. You're never going to be Latin enough and you're never going to be black enough. And it is, I constantly have to explain. All it means is the boat stopped a little early.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I know
Well,
who
yeah, Puerto Rico and one of the things I love about Puerto Rico is every shade from a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, someone who looks like a Malibu blonde.
Somebody who knows.
To African, to somebody who looks like they came, you know, straight from Africa, all in Puerto Rico.
Our families look
like
that.
Because the thing about you, and you know, you're a beautiful woman, like, is there, in other words, is there a pass for being a hot woman? In other words, it's like, okay, it's easy to dislike this woman because she looks like blank. But you, you know, it's like, you know, normally I'd hate you, but damn, look at you. You know, it's like with us, Maranja, it's like, normally I'd hate you, but man, you got a jump shot.
You know what? Here's the problem with her. The average person, if they don't get to know her, they'll hate her because she's attractive. They'll think she just skates through life because she's attractive. Then when they get to know her, they're like, oh, we don't hate you because you're attractive. We hate you because you're intelligent. And you're actually trying to do something other than just skate through life being attractive.
So there's a negative to being an intelligent woman.
Well, you're not supposed to be this attractive and smart.
Yeah.
Well, I need to come here every week. I think that the connotation of the attractive woman.
Am I right?
Well, no, there's an expectation of, you know, I'll tell you what. There's a comedian that came up to me that we all know here. He said to me, you're not going to make it in comedy. And I said, why? He said, because you ain't dark enough, you ain't loud enough, you ain't angry enough, and you ain't black enough. Yes. How did you know he said that to me?
It
was him?
Because that's him.
He said it to me in a setting where there was a bunch of white people around, and he was like, wow. And he said, don't act surprised because y'all love to laugh at us. She actually is talking about something.
So basically, he was on his way down. And he was like, let me drag you to hell with me.
And
come on.
I was just like, where does that come from? But I do think that, you know, thanks to people like Amber Rose and the Kardashians and this whole superficial, like, It's a whole different energy now about what attractive is, because everybody's so vain and so.
Yeah, but we've always had that, and the internet just allows it to expand on a whole different level. Like there wouldn't have been a Kardashian back in the day when we had four TV channels. There wasn't room for Kim Kardashian, but the internet allows. And I don't even hate Kim Kardashian for what she did, but from what you just described,
I hate her mama.
But again, I can't hate him for being smart enough to cash in and work the system.
Yeah.
But we're the ones who bought it.
Consume. I can't believe they've lasted this long.
Yo, they've lasted way. Like, if there was a Vegas pool for this, I would have been broke because I was like, nah, they won't be around.
But in response to what you said and to what this comic said to you, my response to that would be Aisha Tyler.
Well, I mean, you know what? I didn't dignify it with a response because I had to consider the source.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that there is room for us. And I think that it's going to be longer. It's going to be harder. But I don't buy into that. I do think that there is an abundance of ignorance on television. I think it sells.
Well, yeah, but TV appeals to the lowest common denominator. And always. And again, that's different. Like sitcom, dumb, and fake news, infotainment, and all that. But getting back to this internet thing and the internet hatred, you reminded me of someone who she's that woman on the large scale, Anne Hathaway. Mm-hmm. The actress Anne Hathaway is hated for being perfect and always accused of being fake. And I read an interesting article of someone who defended her who said, well, you don't know, Anne Hathaway works really hard on her image and her acting and stuff like that. And I'll go in another step. Another person who gets hated for that is Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, the biggest knock they get on Hillary Clinton is, well, she has no personality or whatever. Well, does she have to? If she's knowledgeable on all the issues and respected in the international community as a former Secretary of State and by countries who get over the fact that a woman can lead a country and so on and so forth. And, you know, her resume obviously fulfills.
Right. Speaks for itself.
Yeah. But she's not.
She doesn't have a personality.
Friendly. She's not nice. And I know someone who worked with her personally, and she said, you know, Hillary's problem is she can't project it. She said, when you're in a conference room with Hillary Clinton, she's amazing, and she's dynamic, and she's friendly, and etc. Mm-hmm. But when she gets in front of a microphone and talks to 1,000 people or 10,000 people or the country, she doesn't know how to project it the way that Bill does or the way that Barack Obama does or even George Bush, who, you know, with all the knocks against him, he did have that good old boy act down.
But I don't think she can afford to because she's a woman. If that's the thing with the catch-22 with being a woman. If Hillary was all over the place being emotional, if you would have seen her crying because Bill cheated on her, then they would use that against her. Look, an emotional woman. She has to be stoic.
She can't run the country.
Yeah, she can't. She has to be stoic.
Hillary Clinton is the Tim Duncan of politics.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's Tim Duncan of politics. Tim Duncan, but no big personality.
Tim got the rings.
He got
rings. Hillary don't have rings.
Well, she may get one. But fundamentally, Tim Duncan is sound, does his job.
Yes.
He's one of the greatest ball players ever.
Yeah. Smoke a lot of weed, though. Like Tim high a lot of time. There would be a reaction.
Maybe Hillary's
and
high.
Listen, I'm fine with that. I love Tim Duncan. Yeah. I don't like him in the sense that I'm a Clipper fan, so I don't like the Spurs. But I respect who Tim Duncan is as a player. We'll talk about that on another show.
America is sexist, too. I think. Look at Sarah Palin.
Well,
everything that comes out of Sarah Palin's mouth is looked at. Everybody's watching. Hillary just said, you know what? I'm going to fall back.
But Sarah Palin is a MILF.
Yes, she is.
And Sarah Palin, a lot of the love she got was because she was a MILF. When they they changed her wardrobe and they put her in those suits and that skirt got a little bit tighter and the heels got a little bit higher and the makeup got a whole lot better, there was a big, like, wow, look at her.
She went from librarian to sexy substitute.
To sexy librarian. Yes.
And they were
sexy,
like, go get the black guy. Go get the black guy. Yeah. They're not.
And
we're not
she was
live.
Like, I already had. In college, but we don't talk about it.
His name
anymore.
Is Glenn Rice.
But anyway, so now we're talking, and it's funny because we've gone from hate based on racism, sexism, et cetera, to hate being based on too good or is it people who are unwilling to risk being hated? You know, one of the things that goes with being a celebrity and being outspoken is the risk that they're not going to like you.
Yeah.
So when you say something, and I'll give someone in Maranzio's vein, Spike Lee.
Right.
Spike Lee. And Spike Lee is a guy who said, I'm going to speak my mind knowing that America is going to be mad. You know, like when he did Do the Right Thing. Mm. And by the way, I met a kid in his 20s who had never seen Do the Right Thing, and I punched him in the head, and I did, because he should
as
be,
you
like,
should have.
You, what the hell, a black guy in his 20s, I never saw that movie.
I never saw the Do the Right Thing.
I punched him in the head, and then I went to his house, and I slapped his mama for never having, no, I didn't, I did not slap his mama.
I saw Big Mama's House 3.
Yeah, it's amazing, but when Spike Lee brought out that movie, and this is before the internet,
right?
But you talk about an example of people loving it and loving him for it, and people hating it hating him for it. And Hollywood hated him. Hollywood would not give Spike an Oscar. And if you saw Malcolm X and you're like, walk away and say, wait a minute.
That's shady.
Denzel and Spike didn't win an Oscar for Malcolm X. There's something wrong with the
system.
If
Spike didn't get an Oscar for Malcolm X, he's never going to get
right,
an Oscar.
Exactly.
A Scent of a Woman won that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah. But Spike Lee lives out loud. Win, lose, or draw. I mean, he tweeted the wrong address.
Right, to Zimmerman. Yeah. So is that, I mean, is that risk worth it? Because now you have, like I say, you have somebody like an Anne Hathaway, who, or you have somebody like, I don't know if it's calculated with Hillary Clinton. I don't think it's as calculated as people say. I think she is lower key. And especially with Bill Ayer as her husband, like, you don't often see a couple where they're both loud, outspoken people.
Right.
If one of them's a big personality,
someone
the other one
is.
Tends to hang back. And I think that's the case with her and Bill Clinton. But I'm not going to, you know, get into that. But
I struggle with that in comedy. People tell me that I'm too laid back. A comedian that we all know in here told me you should dance salsa in your set.
Oh, because you're Victor Cruz now.
And I was like, I don't dance.
Yeah,
you know that.
But that's been my whole career. But I have to say now, sometimes I wish I did. Sometimes I you know, some of the things I've learned, I wish I did talk more about me. It's not in my nature to brag or to, you know, ego trip or stuff, but it's rewarded in our business.
So you don't run your credits at the end of your set?
I should. But now I'm talking about,
I hate that.
We live in an era of social marketing, like, and this probably applies more to you, Maranzio, than me, because you're, you know, a generation or two behind me in comedy and in age. But you're expected, your whole marketing pitch is expected. Like me, I timed it perfectly. I was a little too young for the boom of the 80s and for the Tonight Show to make me famous, and then a little too old for YouTube and Twitter to make me famous. So I timed
it
in such a way that I would never make it, and it's worked out so far. But
that's the best way to
describe it. But yeah, I just aimed right in between the two big eras. But anyway, when I talk to young comics now, I tell them, your job is marketing. You got to be on Twitter. You got to be on YouTube. You have to talk about you all the time.
And you don't have to be funny.
So,
you just have to talk about you.
You have to tell them you're funny, even if you're not.
Yes.
And because we used to joke about it when people did that. We used to say a thing like, yeah, that guy's going to work everywhere once.
Exactly.
You know, because he could talk his
Market
way in.
Your way.
But now you get to keep working because an audience comes to see you, because that audience doesn't know. And I'm not even going to say that you're not funny. They don't know that you're not the best. I know you're going to say it.
I'm going to say it.
They don't even know what comedy is.
Right.
They don't.
They think a Vine person is a comedian.
But here's the thing, though.
But clubs do that, though. Comedy clubs and the industry is at fault for that, because they don't care about.
But they're not at fault, because their job is to put asses in seats.
Right.
Yeah,
their
but
job
do you want
art.
People to come back? Do you want those same asses to come back? Or they're like, oh, we got burned because.
No, because this is what they do, and this is how they don't get burned. They put someone really funny on that show. I don't know about you, but I've had that gig where it's like, okay, we got so-and-so who's really famous, but we need you to be hilarious.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So those people go home saying they had a good time because he only got two jokes. He got two jokes in a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So we need you to do a strong 30.
Milk it.
You know? And that's, but I don't fault them because that's business. But here's the thing, and we got to wrap it up, but I'm going to ask this. Would you, and I think I asked it before, but would you take that publicity based on negativity if it sold seats? If you wrote a book and it sold books, would you take that publicity based on negativity?
No,
because that's how the internet works.
I've had that opportunity. I did a video in 2008 called Puffy is Poison, and I basically broke down the lineage of Puffy and all the effects that he's had on every artist that's ever come into his possession. And it went viral. It got over 500,000 views, maybe 100 million, maybe a million. But I never capitalized on it. Like, I never said, this is who I am. I'm the guy that brings down moguls. I didn't. Wendy Williams at the time when she had a radio show tried to bring me on. I was like, no, I don't want to do it because I knew she was going to bring me on to try to add more to dumping on Puffy. And then she probably would have flipped it and be like, well, who are you to even talk about Puffy? And I don't have time to argue with that dude.
So no profit from hate for no, Maranzio.
I could have done it.
Your profit's going to be based on your career yeah, and what you do and what
it's
you
easy,
say.
It's easy to attack people. It's easy to knock people down. It's easy to make a meme about somebody. It's easy to mm-hmm, point out someone's flaws or what someone said is stupid. Or any, you can live off as people that live, Ann Coulter's career is based off of shock and negativity. All alternative comics, if they want to call themselves that, they live off of saying shocking things. It's not funny. People. It's just shocking. They were like, oh my God, I can't believe this skinny black kid with tight clothes on said this god-awful thing about politics.
Yeah.
Give him a show.
Yeah.
And they like it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, and I know we're probably getting off topic, but I hate this new generation of the new Negroes that Hollywood has adapted, where they get these young black people or these progressive black people that's like, hey, let's extend an olive branch, or let me say the things about black people that white people would like to say, and they don't give me money for it.
Right.
I saw a comedy special on HBO for an hour. It was just nothing but self-hate for an hour. And white people are like, we don't give him a truckload of money.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to move to you out on this question. But first thing I'm going to tell you is, Maranzio, I'll see you here in the middle. All right? You're well on your way. But I'm going to tell you, I had a similar experience where I had a publicist, and they wanted me to do this show called Red Eye on Fox. I did it once, it's sort of a comedic news show, but it's very skewed to the right, as everything is on Fox. And they ask the questions in a way that your answer would always be twisted to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they were talking to my publicist. They were kind of, you know, they don't say it directly, but they were like, hey, a conservative black comedian can make a lot of money. We're looking for somebody, you know. And I was like, I'll never do this show again. You tricked me into doing it. You must be right, out of your damn mind.
Well, no, sure, I'm Underwood played that card. Knock to her, but she did the whole Republican.
And it's so strange to me with Cheryl, because when Cheryl talks about she's a Republican, I understand it financially.
Yes,
she's a fiscal.
But I don't understand. But I refuse to believe that Cheryl agrees with them on any social level. And the thing about Cheryl, and we got to wrap this up soon, because I'm as great as it is, I don't like doing a super long podcast. Okay. But the thing that's interesting is when intelligent people say something, and I know they know better. And I'm going to go back to Sarah Palin. We've been using her as an example. When Sarah Palin stood up there and said, the Obama health care plan, there are going to be death panels at the hospital that decide whether or not your sick child dies. Even she knew that was a lie she was saying it. But millions of people believed it because she said it. And that, to me, that's the worst thing you can do.
Like Fiorino and the dead baby on the table.
Right, Fiorino with the fake Planned Parenthood video. Ben Carson repeatedly, when Ben Carson says that the Obama health care plan is the worst thing since slavery, and they found a black man to say that, you know. But anyway, so Ida, let me ask you, same question. Would you take the fame, the notoriety that comes with, if you had a troll moment, if you could somehow say something horrible about Puerto Ricans or Latin people or women, or would you do it and then cash the check?
Well, Alonzo, I wouldn't be swimming here in the middle with you if I would have been negotiable, because I had quite a few opportunities. Maranzio would tell you, I've never been negotiable, and I always set out to push us forward. I've turned down over 13 reality shows because I already know what they would do with me. I learned it on Last Comic Standing, being the Latin woman that's finally spoke out, which, you know, you didn't see the hours upon hours that I was being bullied and then I finally said, that's enough. And they were like, that angry Puerto Rican chick. So I already knew that if I ever, allowed myself to be in that setting, that's what they're going to do. Because at the end of the day, our images are so much controlled by the media and the editors and the people who push the buttons. I'm not negotiable.
Right.
I don't want
to. But the interesting thing, it's interesting your choice of words, because these people who have become famous, whether it be as trolls or as just reality entities, they've controlled their image, not the media. The Kardashians, the mom controls the images of the Kardashians. For example, right now, suddenly they all care about Lamar Odom.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
And they took
didn't give a shit about Lamar Odom yesterday.
No, they didn't.
But now they can't live without Lamar Odom, you know.
Kim Kardashian's mom is the best madam ever.
Yes, she's a pimp.
But they know how to control their image online.
She made
there,
vagina.
There are so many who do that. Take control of it. You mentioned Wendy Williams. You know, Wendy took them on. Wendy, they were hitting, and Wendy's... To the extent she can, she controls her image.
But her career is based off negativity.
But she's right. And she's okay with
but
that.
But this is what I'm saying. So this is what I'm saying. The people whose careers are based on this negativity, trolling, whether it be attacking celebrities or attacking, you know, Barack Obama or whatever, they control their image. They don't allow the media to control it. They control it. I'm going to say that I wouldn't do it. No, I wouldn't do it. Intentionally negative, but to me it would be like I always say I'd love for me to be famous enough for something I say to be controversial.
Absolutely.
You know, like we talked about it earlier, like I'd love to make it big, and then they go through the history of my, you know, humor, and they're like, man, he really got a problem with midgets.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
Well, and, I tell you, I've been trolled because I made a joke about Beyonce, and that video went viral, and people wished death upon me. They told me they were going to beat up.
It's very interesting how people adopt a celebrity like they know them personally.
It was,
you know,
it was really, really.
The beehive will come get you.
It took a while too for it to stop. Like when I tell you, people were like, "We're gonna go to the punchline, and we're gonna see you." And
I love,
but
how
see,
people...
that's the thing. Do that, okay? Buy a ticket to come in and hate me.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's great. You know why? Because at the end of the day, I sold a ticket. And I forget what comic said that, but he literally said that. He said, "You hate me? Come hate me
live
at the Funny Bone Friday night at 8 o'clock." You know, because the more of you that come hate me, the bigger my paycheck when I walk out. Now, and I'll tell you somebody who didn't do it: Hannibal Buress. Hannibal could be famous as the guy who brought down Bill Cosby.
Absolutely.
And I've heard everyone talk about it except him. And basically the story left him and the story's become Bill Cosby. But Hannibal could have easily turned
he's kind of living off of it.
Well, it made his name. It made him, you know, people knew his name.
But
who
is
didn't
that how
know
you
want
to be famous
before.
As the guy that took down?
Well, no, because he said, look, I've done this joke, you know, 100 times before. For whatever reason, this time the video took off.
Because you did it in Philadelphia, you know, where Bill Cosby's from.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I'm not knocking Hannibal.
No.
I'm saying that Hannibal, this grew around him, but he didn't come out. Like, in other words, he didn't do a Bill Cosby press conference every weekend.
No, he didn't.
He didn't meet every woman who accused Bill Cosby and say, yeah, I told you.
Right.
Good thing I'm here. You know, he could have easily done that. He could have, and he didn't. He's.
I think he wants to get away from it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. And
well,
I'm sure
it came with great penalty.
You get a lot of hate too
from the comedy community.
You get a lot of hate too, but I respect him. I respect him. Admire him. I respect.
Nobody's going to do anything illegal around him.
I respected him before, and I respect him now. Now he'll rat your ass out.
Hey,
right?
Nobody doing nothing illegal around Hannibal Buress.
Well, again,
ever.
Maranzio, when
not
you
even
make
steal
it,
soda.
Maranzio, when you make it, and don't think I'm not going to lie and make up shit.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
Alonzo, go
man,
nuts.
I was with Maranzio when he was tagging walls.
Oh, he wrote some
man,
hateful
stuff. You should have seen when he used to steal cars, it was only from white women. I'm just, you know.
And I was like, in an interview, Alonzo said that?
And you'll see all the other people say, I can see that.
Of course, anybody can see it.
Man,
if it goes viral.
Thank you guys so much. I am going to do this to my listeners. I'm going to do this more often. I'm going to have guests more often. But you two are fantastic and fantastic on this topic. So, Ida, tell the people where they can find you, where they're going to see you, and what's going on.
All right. This weekend, I'm at the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville starting tomorrow night. And
so you might not be here Monday. You well, going to Jacksonville, Florida.
Exactly. You. That's why I was laughing the whole time. But you can find me on funnyaida.com where all my social media is. And you can catch me on Tuesdays on tradiov.com at 4 p.m. Pacific time where I want both of these guys to come do my show.
Fantastic. Maranzio.
First and foremost, let all the prayers go out to Ida because she's going to Jacksonville. let everything else we talked about today just go to the wayside. She's going to Jacksonville where English is the second language. I'll be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood Thursday and then Long Beach Laugh Factory Friday and Saturday. And I'm at the Brad Garrett's Comedy Club in Vegas all next week. And you can find me at Maranzio Vance. That's for everything, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, that's about, I'm not doing Snapchat and I'm not doing Vine, so don't ask.
Well, as you know, I'm Alonzo Bowden, alonzobowden.com. I'm following you to Brad Garrett's club. I'm there the week after next.
You are?
Yeah, this weekend I'm going to be at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut at Comics Comedy Club. And yeah, October 26th through November 1st, I'm at Brad Garrett's club at the MGM Grand. In Vegas, and since it's Halloween, I'm gonna go as you. I'm gonna be there Halloween, and they're gonna be like, "Wow, weren't you here last week?" And I'm gonna say, "Yes, I'm back."
You've got some work to do. You gotta stop eating yesterday.
This is Alonzo Bowden asking who's paying attention and thanking you for doing so.